Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, editor at that website. With me, as always, my co-host, Nicholas Mason.
Hi, I don't have a fun personal story to share to kick off the show, but what have you got?
It's Father's Day.
Sure is.
That's it. No.
Okay, good.
Okay, this is for all the fathers out there, and I'd like to know whether this is true or not. Uh-huh. We are not fathers.
That we know about. No, we're definitely not.
We're very careful.
There's no way. Yeah, there's no way.
But, my brother said the perfect gift, my brother's a father, you know that, my older brother, he's got two kids. The perfect gift for a father.
That he knows about. He was not as careful.
Not as much.
Anyway.
What do you call him, the golden bullet?
Yeah,
he knocked her up straight away, didn't he?
Yeah.
Right to the heart of it. All right, so, the perfect Father's Day gift
the heart,
is apparent.
That's not where it happens.
What?
Doesn't matter.
See, that's why I haven't gotten anyone pregnant.
Oh, good.
Okay, but perfect Father's Day gift is when you wake up, your wife has taken your kids away and you just sleep through.
Right.
Like so the perfect Father's Day gift is just to be left alone. Fantastic. In the morning and for most of the day. Because normally, I remember when I was a kid, my dad's Father's Day consisted of me and my brothers running into the room really early and like jumping on him. And then, like, giving him gifts he didn't want.
Yep.
And then one of them was, like, chocolates. And then we just eat all the chocolates.
Sure.
And then we just run out. Like, that was... That's not a gift.
2 minutes in house. Great.
Yeah.
And you've ruined his day.
That's right. So, yeah.
It's pretty great.
Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Absolutely.
Who's a father?
To all the fathers out there.
Yeah.
That they know. Oh, sorry, I'll stop doing that.
Straight into the news, Mason.
Mm-hmm.
Straight into the news. Okay, so, how confident are you in the Terminator Genesis Terminator reboot?
Not confident at all.
Well, Paramount Pictures are way more confident than you.
What does that mean?
Because they have already greenlit sequels for May 2017 and June 2018. So I think the next one's coming next year. And then there's a year gap where we can rest up from that amazing Terminator journey.
Catch your breath, yeah.
Reboot, reimagining, whatever.
Play with all the action figures
for a year. And then they're shooting another two back-to-back, so straight into it. No word on the director. Alan Taylor, as we know, is doing the Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
That's S-Y-S, remember?
Yep, sure, I remember.
At length.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that's a good sign sometimes.
Is it, though? I mean, is it a good sign, or is it they've just gone, okay, well, here's the projections of the ticket sales.
Yep.
We can shoot out 3 of these before we start losing money again.
Yep.
Like, maybe they've just looked at Terminators 1, 2, and 3, and whatever the fourth one was.
Salvation.
Thank you. And they've just gone, look, if we just put enough money at this, we'll get X amount of money back.
Mm.
And then it'll just be straight to DVD, so we'll stop there.
Sure.
We'll wait again.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is this is going to be a disaster and it's going to be garbage.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think it remains to be seen. Because it's Alan Taylor, as we're talking about, who did Thor, The Dark World.
Okay,
Thor, The Dark World. And he's done Game of Thrones. It's got a good cast.
Right.
Arnold's back as old Terminator.
Love it.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. We'll see how we go.
Okay, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Next up.
Okay, great.
We've just seen first look at the Vision.
We have.
Concept art, where there's a big dickhead standing in front of the concept
just
art.
Just ruining the concept
ruining
art.
Ruining the concept art.
He could have at least done 2 photos.
I know.
One, here's me being a dickhead in front of the concept art. Here's me not molesting the concept art. So you can enjoy the concept art.
Exactly.
Bearing in mind, I'm the dickhead that got the first look at the concept art. Here, I get the credit, but here it is so you can look at it.
Exactly.
Too.
Yeah. What a joke.
What we're saying is if you know who this guy is, let us know and we'll get him. We'll get him real good.
So, but we do, at least he didn't obscure the vision. Yeah. It looks like he is standing in front of Quicksilver, though, or someone else. Have you noticed, though, you've got Iron Man right up front, followed by Captain America, and way in the back, even behind the vision, and the guy standing in front of the concept art, is Thor. Like, is Thor going out of favour?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, have you noticed that the Avengers Tower is right behind them? Are they all falling to their deaths, the ones that can't fly?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Because they're way up. They're way up high. So, yeah, what do you think of the look? It's pretty much it's standard vision stuff, yeah?
Yeah, it's fine, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Is it a good vision for the character?
That
I know about.
Nice. Saved it at the end.
Yeah.
No, it looks fine.
Yeah, it looks good.
It'll be interesting to see how that red face looks in motion.
Yeah.
Like, will it look ridiculous or not?
I think because they were tossing up whether to do helmet or painted face or CGI or whatever. So it's hard to say from that. Just that. So there you go.
I'm on board. They've thus far made everything else look mostly not ridiculous. So.
Yep. I agree with that.
Even Thanos, not ridiculous.
Even Captain America's outfit in the Avengers.
Correct. A little bit ridiculous.
Yeah, a little bit ridiculous.
Face, helmet. Yeah, okay, yeah. All right.
Cool. After months of speculation, I would even say years of speculation of who The Rock will play in a DC movie.
Oh, it's been finally revealed.
Black Adam. He's playing Black Adam.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
As we predicted, or possibly didn't predict.
Well, it was
you have to go back and check.
Yeah. It was either that or Shazam. Yep. Would you prefer him as Shazam or Black Adam?
No, Black Adam. He looks more like Black Adam.
Sure. Mm. I think he would have made a good Shazam though as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Because he's kid friendly. Yeah. You know. But apparently in the comics at the moment, Black Adam is more of an anti-hero than he. He used to be just a flat-out villain.
Yeah. Hmm.
And now he's so... I guess they must be doing that version of him in the film.
Because The Rock can't be a bad guy.
No, that's right.
So that leaves a space...
Except for Doom.
Yeah. that happened, yeah. That leaves open the question, who's going to be Captain Marvel?
That does, yeah, exactly.
Because who is The Rock big?
No one.
But a good guy.
A good actor.
Like a clean-cut American boy, whatever kind of thing. Not that The Rock isn't.
Yeah.
But Captain Marvel's got a certain look.
He does. I think they're probably going to go a smaller kind of... They'd have to go a smaller person.
I got a text from somebody
10
seconds ago, and I wouldn't normally break the fourth wall here, but it's from a friend of mine. It says, "Happy Father's Day, Nick Mason. I know your secret." So... Great.
That's pretty great.
Great. I'm going to look forward to a couple of bloody bundles of joy busting on me next year in the morning and ruining my fun.
So, Chase Ebb wrote in, actually, and he said he thinks it'd be better if Billy Batson was played by The Rock and it was just The Rock running around on his knees.
Yeah, absolutely,
in a high-pitched voice in kids' clothes.
He's got a little hat with a propeller on the top. Yeah, absolutely.
So I thought that was pretty funny.
And the transformation sequence, he yells Shazam, and there's like a flickering light behind him, and he just stands up off his knees. Like kind of awkwardly, maybe like a grip walks in on frame and just holds, and he just struggles up slowly. That'd be great.
That would be amazing. I'm all for it. Because Black Adam is Egyptian-ish, isn't he?
Yes.
And The Rock's vague where he's from.
He's got a vague ethnicity.
Yeah,
he works
be anyone.
In a lot of ways. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Good on you. Hmm. Clean-cut American or Egyptian. He can go anywhere in between that.
Absolutely,
that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. You familiar with Matt Nable?
No.
He was in the Riddick movie, the latest one.
Was he Riddick?
He was Riddick's friend, Biddick. No, he was. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm hungover again, by the way, just so everybody knows. And we're doing this one early. That's fine. It is what it is. No, he played... Do you remember in the first movie, spoiler alert for...
Pitch Black,
that... There was that guy who was the drug addict who Riddick ends up killing.
Uh-huh.
And then it's his father who comes after Riddick in the newest one.
Uh-huh.
And he's one of the only guys to survive.
It's that guy.
It's that... Well, is... Yeah.
Where is this going?
He...
I'm sick to death. It's early in the morning. I'm sick to death of trying to find links here. And I can't remember what he looks like. I can't remember whose dad is who. Did this guy's dad get bloody... Did this drug addict show up really early in the morning? He's like, "Hey, Dad. Got you these drugs. I'm going to take the drugs and run out."
He is this... Well, basically, Matt Nable, who is this guy, is playing Ra's al Ghul, or Ra's al Ghul, in Arrow.
Okay.
You know, Liam Neeson was all for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
it had already been filmed.
It had already been filmed.
We're assuming.
So, yeah, he's an Australian actor. I think he's a good choice. He's good in Riddick,
uh-huh.
as you remember.
Sure.
So,
certainly a memorable performance.
Sure
a career-defining performance.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he somehow in the new Mad Max film as well?
Probably.
All Australian actors get a...
Every Australian actor. Every Australian actor. Even the dead ones.
Toni Collette.
Is she?
I don't know.
That's great. Yeah. I like Toni Collette.
That we know about. Sorry. I promised it'd be last one, but it wasn't.
So yeah, I'm cool with that. I mean, I haven't seen a hell of a lot of him, but what I've seen, I like him. He's got an Australian accent, which is just great.
Fantastic.
So yeah, all right, moving right along. Remember how we talked about Supergirl last week?
Yes.
And then I made that video about Supergirl. Did you see that one?
I did see that video.
Yeah, I like that one.
It's but, refreshing to learn what I said on the podcast later on.
That's right.
Like, oh yeah.
But apparently, a Supergirl series may actually be in development.
TV series.
TV series. Because you can't give a female superhero a movie.
How dare we even think that for a second?
Yeah, but it's not going to be the CW, apparently, who do Arrow and The Flash.
And everything else. Yeah.
Now, they're considering several ways to go about this, but it will be a new interpretation, and it won't be called Supergirl. So...
Okay.
It will be called, like, Kandor or something like that.
Oh, it will be, won't it? That's true, yeah.
Is she from Kandor or something?
No, she's from Krypton.
Yeah, yeah. But what didn't she... No. In the movie, where did she come from? She came from Kandor, didn't she, in that terrible movie?
Witches. I don't know. It's been a long time.
Yeah, so that's great, I guess.
Great. So it'll be another Smallville. Who's getting it? Not the CW, somebody else.
Not the
else.
CW, somebody else.
Just not... They've just put a blanket rule down... Anyone can have it. First TV station to put their hands up can have it, as long as it's not the CW.
Yeah. So there you go. I think they've sort of perfected flying, CGI flying in TV, haven't they?
Sure. But I mean, whether she gets the budget for that or not is the question. Right. But they'd have to, right?
Yeah. You'd have to make her fly, because that would be dumb.
Mm.
Like Smallville.
Like Smallville for 10 years.
Though he did fly in Smallville eventually, didn't he?
Well, what happened in Smallville, he had the ability to fly from, like, season 3 or something.
But he couldn't stand to fly.
Yeah.
Because he ain't got no wings.
There you go.
Sorry, go.
But he never had the confidence or the knowledge, like, the trigger in his mind to do it. But, like, sometimes a bad guy would take over his mind and he could fly for some reason. And then the bad guy, you know, the spirit of the bad guy would be blasting out of his mind or whatever, and he'd be like, well, I know definitively that I can fly. But why would I bother thinking about it? You know?
Somebody... Credits. Somebody save... Yeah. Mm. What a great show. Okay, last bit of news. I think it's one of those situations as well where we said something and then something happened related to that thing.
Right.
The universe is connected.
It's definitely a thing that happened.
X-Men Apocalypse starts shooting in Montreal next April.
Is that related to something we said?
Nope.
Great.
But it is. I just thought, you know, it started. Oh, I meant that was related to the Supergirl thing.
Oh, sure,
because
sure,
we
sure.
mentioned
okay,
Supergirl
right.
and
okay.
bloody blah. So, yeah. That's great. Good on them. Same director, same writers, same cast with some new additions. There's going to be like a young Nightcrawler, apparently, in Gambit, obviously, with Channing Tatum and et cetera, et cetera.
I hope there's a scene where it's just Nightcrawler in a tattoo parlor and he's just... going through like books, like do I want this one?
Ooh, okay.
Do I want this one? Do I want... No, I don't like. I don't
Is
like
it religiously
that.
Religious enough? Yeah.
Don't like it. We have this religious book. Oh, montage, tattoo montage.
Yeah. Well, Mason.
Yes.
We mentioned last week. We said, look, we're gonna.
We said, look.
Listen, idiots. No, we said we're gonna talk about Batman and the best Batman moments because we hadn't done a. Like
we certainly haven't talked about Batman a lot.
No, it's weird. Yeah. But this is our 50th episode after all.
Ooh.
And Batman is probably one of the most iconic comic book characters.
I thought you were going to put your foot down and go, and Batman is 50 years old today.
Well, would you say he's the greatest father in comic books?
Oh, I see. That's the way to do it.
I meant to do it like that. I did it wrong because I even wrote that down.
Is he the greatest? He's probably the worst for...
Well,
he's
got
son
his
died.
Son killed. And he didn't know he existed for a
long
time.
He's had a lot of his surrogate children killed as well.
True.
Several Robins.
But he's the best father...
Like more than two.
But he's the best father in the sense that he's lived to gather more children.
No. That's a bad justification.
He is a father. How about that? Father's Day. He's 50 years old. It's our 50th episode.
Is David Wayne back from the dead and... Batman Again, or is he...
In Batman Again,
in the current Batman comics.
Damian Wayne.
Is he alive?
I don't think he's alive yet. I might be wrong, though. I'm not up to date on that.
Okay.
I think there's been some stories that hint around it, or maybe they're set in another universe or set in a different time.
Okay, so currently he's a bad father because his son's dead.
Yes.
But when his son is revealed to have not died at all, but there was some sort of switcheroo, then he'll be a great father again.
That's right. Exactly.
Anyway, basically, we decided we'd just talk about Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the best Batman moments. And we've got some. We got a whole lot of listeners write in as well. So I thought maybe we'll go through our moments.
Uh huh.
And then we'll go through the listeners.
That's right, everyone. It's another episode of James and Mason list a whole bunch of things. Will there be context? Who knows? Maybe.
Do you want to kick it off?
Do you want to do it chronologically?
Well, I can't do it. I haven't written it chronologically, but we can. Yeah, sure. I'll do whatever.
No, let's not do that.
Okay.
All right, let's kick it off.
I can start chronologically.
Okay, go ahead.
In the original Batman comics, he just murdered a bunch of people.
Is that an iconic moment, though?
Yes. There's one moment in particular where there's a guy, like a monster who'd mutated, and he hangs him from the bat plane with a rope and just flies around until the guy chokes to death, and he's like, he would have wanted it this way. This is better.
I can't wait to be a father sometime.
But he used to carry a gun and punch people into acid and all sorts of stuff. Just like the Tim Burton version.
Okay, so are we going to say iconic moments of Batman killing a whole bunch of people? let's talk about all the times Batman killed people.
Well, look, I'm currently doing a video on that. I'm like halfway through it. I'm doing like top five moments. Am I telling you about this?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and I can't do
it. It's hard
just
to winnow
five.
It down to just five,
yeah,
isn't it?
Because he's killed a lot of people. So, you know, I don't want to step on that. But
I mean,
anything...
some of them out of continuity.
Yeah.
But
there's a lot of them that are in continuity, you know? And a lot of them, they're kind of like, what are they called? Like, said, no, he didn't murder them. Like, one I didn't include was the one where he locks that Russian guy.
The KGB
guy in an underground bunker.
And just leaves him to die.
Yeah.
And he's like, sometimes the ends justify the means or whatever. And
yeah.
Like, sometimes you gotta blah, 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 justice, something, blah, blah. And then he just leaves. But yeah, they later, because they wanted the KGB's back.
Yeah.
So they later retconned it and be like, oh, actually, he called the cops.
Yeah.
And the cops collected him or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, despite the fact that he said he won't be a problem anymore because I've left him to his death. Or whatever he said. Batman has also killed a lot of people in garbage dumps.
Oh, you mean like piles of cars full
of
them? Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of, like, Batman kills a lot of people with mitigating circumstances where, like, morally he could sort of get away with.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's always like he punches the guy falls into a stack of cars, the cars crush the guy.
Yeah, and Batman's like...
You're Batman.
Yeah.
You could have punched him in a different direction. Like, you know that stack of cars... You've seen stacks of cars before.
Yes.
You trained with an expert in stacking cars.
That's right.
In Tibet. And then you'd know that if you hit that guy into the stack of cars, it'll crush him.
Yeah.
So hit him so he goes another direction.
Another direction, yeah.
Also, there's that bit in Batman Begins where he's like, I'm not going to kill you. But I don't have to save you. No, you kind of do.
You do, because that's
like,
what you're about.
You had the opportunity to do that, and you didn't. So you're a murderer.
There's also that bit in Batman Begins where he won't kill that one criminal in the monastery.
Yeah.
So he just kills
everybody else
instead.
Yep.
He kills Ra's al Ghul. He kills about 50 ninjas.
Yep.
And he nearly kills Liam Neeson. But then he does kill Liam Neeson at the end anyway.
Right, yes.
So.
And then, yeah, exactly.
What else do we hate about Batman?
And that guy, and the guy he refuses to kill was a bad guy, right?
Yeah,
they explicitly say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Great. Great stuff, Batman.
Weird code, Batman.
It is a weird code. Also, you'll kill Darkseid.
Yeah, he killed Darkseid. Yeah, that's right. Mm. I mean, Darkseid came back, obviously, as everybody does or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
But, yeah, he and with a gun. So he broke two rules then.
Was it the gun that killed his parents? It couldn't have been.
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
That would have been pretty messed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has that gun, does he?
I don't know.
He probably would.
Yeah.
But he does know how to shoot guns and dismantle guns and all that, doesn't he? Like, he's a weapons expert. He just doesn't use them.
Mm.
Well...
Well, he really wants to.
There's also that bit in the first episode of the Future Batman show, Future Batman.
Yep.
Where the reason he retires is he's getting beaten by thugs.
Yep.
And he has to, the only way he can stop himself from being killed is he pulls a gun on one of them.
Right.
Because he has like this sort of chest pain kind of thing. And,
right.
And that's why he hangs up the boots, the bat boots.
The bat boots and the bat gun.
And the bat gun.
You've had a lot of use, old Bessie, but I'll put you away for now.
But yeah,
we had some good times. I'll wait a couple more for the road.
But he, He used to carry a gun as well, like in the very early incarnations. He was just a guy in a bat suit who used to shoot and murder people.
Well, because like the sort of the mystery men of the 20s and 30s, like the Shadow and whatnot, they love using a gun.
The Phantom.
What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
And I think back in the day, because the Joker died as well. Like the Joker in his earliest appearance, he died. But then I think he was Bill Finger who illustrated it at the time, was forced to add an extra panel where he recovered in hospital or he had some final words or something like that. Because I think at the time it was seen like if you had a character like Batman and he let the villains live, he was weak.
Yeah.
So he had to kill everybody. And then they were like, actually, we kind of like the Joker, so we'll bring him back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, interesting. Mm. Early Batman, though, is not really Batman, is he?
Like, no, he's a lunatic with a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now he's a lunatic without a gun.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, you got another iconic Batman moment?
Well, there's a lot in the movies.
Yeah.
And I know some you hate.
Sure.
And if we're talking about Batman killing a lot of people, there's a lot of killing in Batman 1989.
There is, and Batman Returns.
Yes.
And Batman Forever.
Yep.
Anyway, sorry, go on.
One's a lot. I'm going to say, because one of the most, if you'd say what's the most iconic scene in, what do people remember of Batman? I think it's the opening scene on the rooftop in the 1989 Batman.
Yeah.
Where he lifts the thug off his feet, like 2 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, what are you? And he's like, I'm Batman.
Yeah, that's absolutely iconic.
That is, exactly. There's 10,000 parodies.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's so many in that. But there's the scene where the Joker, he's Jack Napier in the film, but he goes to a surgeon to get his face put back together after Batman deflects that bullet into his head, if you recall.
And then into acid.
Yeah, and there's that scene where he demands the mirror. That's iconic.
Yeah.
That's iconic, right?
Absolutely it is. Yeah. Definitely. And that was parodied in The Simpsons.
Why do you hate this film so much?
I don't hate it. I just think it's no, it's great, but it's not really a good Batman movie.
Okay,
that's
fine.
What I'm saying.
Alright. You're wrong, but I understand.
My favourite scene in that movie is the scene where Michael Keaton's Let's Get Nuts scene.
Yes!
Yes. And I'll probably put a clip of that in here.
That is madness.
You know what happened to this guy, Jack?
What?
Made mistakes. And then he had to...
Lights out! Now you want to get nuts? Come on! Let's get nuts.
It's insane. He's just casually telling this story, and then he's just...
Then he smashes a vase with a stick or the umbrella or something.
Yeah.
There's actually a if you read the novel, the junior novelization, as I did,
Alan Dean Foster.
Yeah, there's an additional scene after that.
Yeah,
where the Joker leaves that apartment, and Michael Keaton, Bruce Wayne, like he doesn't have his bat equipment, but he puts on like a ski mask and he chases them down the street. Like there's like a car chase scene, and
and they don't realize that it's him, even though he's in the same suit.
He's in that same weird taupe colored double breasted suit from the 80s. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, look, that is a. I like that movie. I do. I think it's. Yeah, it is what it is.
Uh-huh.
The same way that Batman 66 is what it is. A lot of people wrote in with some Batman 66 moments.
Yep. Okay.
The most iconic ones probably the
Batman and Joker go surfing.
Yes, that's a good one.
Surfing competition. Yeah.
Yeah. What is that? What's going on there?
You know what? I can't remember.
Me neither. I can picture it very clearly, but I don't know the context.
It may or may not involve them both running for mayor, and they have to decide who's the best via a surfing competition. But maybe those are separate episodes. I can't remember. But yeah, you're right. Shark
repellent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. That is the best.
That is like even though
shark repellent bat spray.
It's so goofy that show.
Yep.
But deep down, whatever, it's very Batman in the way that he doesn't kill, he doesn't use guns, he's got the same backstory, all the iconic villains are there.
Yep.
It's everything, but it's super goofy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's pretty much the same Batman. That's,
yeah.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, when I was a kid, I really enjoyed it, and then when I became like an angsty teen, as we all did, I was like, oh, well, it's so dumb, it's such a dumb, why were they even, it doesn't even make any sense, but now I'm 100% back on board.
Me too,
As an old man, I'm 100% back on board. Because the shark repellent bat spray, that is from the 66 Batman movie.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of great scenes in that. My favourite, well, there's sometimes you just can't get rid of a bomb, which
they borrowed in The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. Yeah, where he's like, okay, he's trying to get rid of the bomb. Well, we could, you know, there's like Cub Scouts. Like he tries to throw one when there's Cub Scouts. There's ducks. And there's like two lovers on the boat having a romantic.
A big marching band.
There's a marching band. Yeah, exactly. My favorite, hang on, I'll see if I can find it because I got to get the quote right. But my favorite part of that film is the logic where it's Batman, Robin, Commissioner Gordon, and Chief O'Hara. They're all in the commissioner's office, and they're trying to figure out who was responsible for this, for the the rubber shark attack and the exploding shark and the fake yacht and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
and they're all trying to the 1960s like camp Batman logic, and so they're like, "Well, which villains could it be?" And then Batman's like, "Pretty fishy. What happened to me on that ladder?" And Gordon's like, "Oh, where there's fish, there could be a penguin." And then Robin's all like, "Wait, it happened at sea. Sea. Sea for Catwoman." And it just goes
from there. Yeah. It's got all the Batman elements. He's amazing detective skills.
Yeah, see, that's his... Yeah, it's he's all the world's there. Greatest detective.
Yeah.
But teamwork also.
Also teamwork, yeah. Is that also... I can't remember whether it's in that episode or that movie or something else where...
Oh, the death of Robin. No, that's something else. That's it. Where he was bludgeoned to death with a crowbar and then blown up in a warehouse. Yeah, that happened in Batman 1966.
It did, I remember. Yeah. No, where they're magnetized to a buoy.
Yep.
Is that in the movie?
That is in the movie,
and
yes.
Then I think, and there's a missile coming.
Yeah, and so he's got a torpedo, he's got like, he reverses the polarity, yeah. He's the super polarity thing.
But then it's not reversing anymore.
Yeah, he runs out of battery.
And a porpoise.
A brave porpoise swims into the path of the last torpedo. Yeah, that definitely happens.
And I love how they play it off like, oh, it sacrificed itself. Like, but also the way that he didn't even think, what a great coincidence.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even that. It was, what a hero that porpoise is. Like, he read this situation.
Well, because that's the thing. He's the most noble of heroes, Batman.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Technically the porpoise is, but.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, that's pretty incredible. Mm-hmm.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction. And free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements. Featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST. And up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, Nyx, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, But migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying? When you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot. Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
I guess you got any good, like, iconic comic moments? You mentioned Death of Robin.
Yes, that's certainly one. Do people know about that? Like, the general public, are they
au fait? Yeah. No, you can break it down. I'm sure there's people who don't know.
No, we kind of just did.
Okay, yeah. Sure. Well, basically, there was a poll, though, wasn't there, to see whether... Because it was the new Robin, which was Tim Drake, who we mentioned before.
Oh, no,
Tim
Drake,
sorry.
Jason Todd. Yeah.
Redhead, like, arrogant Robin. And there were, people were very divided on him because people love Dick Grayson. And they had a poll to see whether or not he would live or die.
And you would call a number. You would call a 1-800 number.
That's it. And it
or a 1-900 number. Yeah. Ching.
And it was like 51% to 49% or something. So he just made it.
Right.
He just was killed. But you know what? They could have fudged the numbers. We don't know.
So if you read the trade paperback that collects that, at least the version I had, there's like an editor's note in there,
yeah.
And it says in there that he had two copies of the issue in like in his desk drawer.
Okay.
One where he lives and one where he dies. Mm. I don't know if that's true, but if it is, where is that copy where he lives?
That's a really good question.
I would like to see that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'd say that's probably not true.
I don't reckon it's true.
Because we would have seen it by now.
Yeah, I reckon they're going to kill him regardless.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
really? Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Definitely. Because it's a non-event. Like, no one's going to remember the time that the Robin nearly died.
Right,
like
yeah.
that hundreds of other
that
times.
That scrape he got into, yeah.
yeah. Like...
I mean, they probably remember the part where the Joker bludgeoned him with a crowbar for like 10 minutes. They'd remember that.
Sure. Well, people...
I'd remember that if it happened to me.
Well, people remember the, Oracle, like Gordon's daughter being shot through the spine or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because that was another brutal kind of moment.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
didn't, she didn't, she lived, but people remember that. I guess because she was in a wheelchair as well afterwards since then, but yeah. What a moment in history.
Correct.
What about the time that Batman and Robin were slowly sinking in caviar? In Batman 66.
Yep.
I don't mean to come back to it, but they just got me thinking about all the times that Batman and Robin nearly died.
Yep.
And it was every second episode, because
every second episode was a cliffhanger. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. That used to make me real tense when I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
Because the first episode, they were always two-parters. I'm like, oh, this is a bloody cliffhanger one. I hate these, because then I have to wait for the next one. So, yeah.
Hmm.
But I got here for comic moments.
Yep.
The Dark Knight Returns is a great book and whatever. Uh-huh. But... for me, I think the best moment is when Batman and the Joker go
through
the
carnival.
Oh, by
the way, spoiler for this.
Oh, yeah.
Spoilers for all of this.
Sure, yeah.
If we mention something and you haven't read it or seen it, just pause it, download it real quick.
Yep.
Watch it. Read it. Get back on board.
Get onto it, yeah.
Because some of these, like, I think probably my number one favorite, and I've mentioned it ad nauseum on this podcast, it's just a spoiler. Like, if we talk about it, it's spoiled.
Yeah,
so,
cool. All right.
And that's my fave. So when I mention it, just go and read it.
Is it the I'm Batman moment from Batman 89?
Yeah. Oh, damn it, I spoiled it already.
But it's Batman going after the Joker for the last time.
Yep.
And if you haven't read it or whatever, I guess I won't spoil exactly what happens. But I think that, like, people remember the Batman-Superman fight from that comic, which is also great.
Yep.
But for me, that moment between Batman and the Joker is one of their best showdowns.
Uh-huh.
And...
We can spoil it.
Spoilers. Yeah. Okay. So Batman is going to kill the Joker, and he decides not till the last minute. And so the Joker then breaks his own neck.
Yes.
To make it look like the Batman did
killed
kill him.
Yeah.
After Batman threw a batarang into his eye.
Yeah.
Because I love that. I've talked about it before. Like, Batman's just been pushed to the complete limits. He's just like, I've had enough of this.
Yep.
I've dealt with this for 40 fucking years. I'm just going to murder this guy.
Yep.
And yeah, it's great.
Speaking of Batman murdering the Joker.
Yes.
And we were talking about the Killing Joke a second ago.
Yeah.
It is very heavily implied. I don't know if the Killing Joke was intended to be in or out of continuity at the time.
Yeah.
Because the final scene of the Killing Joke does seem to imply that Batman does kill the Joker right at the end.
Yeah.
Because the Joker tells his famous joke, the Killing Joke.
Yeah.
And then Batman finally cracks a smile and he laughs. And then they both have a good old fun laugh in time, like at the end of a sitcom where everybody laughs and there's a freeze frame.
Yeah.
But then the Joker's laughter suddenly stops.
Yeah.
With the Batman's hands around his neck.
Yeah.
And it's sort of...
it's implied that he broke his neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves it. He loves a bit of that.
And that was only kind of revealed recently-ish, wasn't it? Grant Morrison talked about that on the Kevin Smith podcast. But that's pretty incredible, if that is true or not true.
Yeah.
If you ask Alan Moore, he probably won't even remember or pretend he doesn't remember. Or
Well, he doesn't... I don't think he likes nothing that he's... I don't know if he just disowns everything he's done for, like, DC and Marvel.
Yeah,
and
I think that's probably it.
But he doesn't like a lot of his old work.
Yeah.
Like, virtually none of his old work he'll see in a positive light.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's because he's... because you know how a lot of, like, bands will release an album and they'll release their next album and they'll be like, oh, that last album was garbage. We weren't even trying with that last one. But now we've really hit our stride with the next one.
Yeah, we're in a good place.
Yeah. I feel maybe Alan Moore's like that. Like, he feels like maybe he keeps evolving as a writer and then he does look back at all his old stuff and he's like, well, that was really kind of, you know, simplistic or garbage or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, like, the Killing Joke, I think he said that because it's that entire thing of Batman versus the Joker, those people do not exist. Nobody like that exists in the real world.
No.
So what is it telling us about the human condition kind of thing?
What is it telling us?
Well, no, I think it does, though, because he said that. He said, look, you know, it's just two weird archetypes battling each other, these weird cartoon character kind of things. But I think it does. Like, it's the Killing Joke is about a man who, you know, one bad night kind of ruined his life and the lives of everybody around him. And I kind of, you know, that's happened.
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Mm. And it can go either way because Batman also had one bad night, but he went with a K. And, you know, so you could, it could vary. It's a, you know, it's a pivotal moment in both of their lives or whatever. Mm. Mm.
Okay, he's an iconic Batman. Shirtless 1970s Batman.
Just the cowl.
Just the cowl. Yeah. The Demon Lives Again, I think it was called. It was Batman versus Ra's al Ghul.
Mm.
And look, there's a lot of shirtless sword fighting
there
in it.
There is a lot of shirtless sword fighting.
Uh-huh.
Like a Sinbad-esque adventure that ends in a shirtless sword fight.
Now, he's referred to by a couple of... I think Grant Morrison refers to this particular Batman as 1970s hairy shirtless love god Batman. Because this is the era where he knocked up Talia al Ghul, resulting in Damian Wayne.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Potentially.
Yeah.
But yeah, this... The Demon Lives Again features a lot of weird shirtless sword fighting where he's shirtless, but he's still got the cowl on. What's going on there?
I don't know. Yeah. It's easier to tell who he is, I guess.
Yeah, but if you say 1970s Batman, that's the first thing I think of.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think of Adam West going to conventions in his bat suit.
Sure, yeah.
Still.
Huh.
Well, that guy had a rough trot, you know? Like, he didn't get work for ages.
Yeah, that
Batman,
was an era of massive typecasting.
Yeah.
Like, he did anything, really.
Yeah, he was nearly James Bond at one point as well. That nearly happened.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he looks the part.
Like Roger Moore.
He looks like Roger Moore, exactly. But I don't think he could do the accent. I'd still want to see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the animated series is obviously very... the Batman animated series. It's probably the...
Not the Roger Moore, James Bond animated series.
James Bond Jr.?
Yeah.
No, yeah, well, obviously the 1990s cartoon, it's still... people still consider it probably one of, if not the best version of Batman that we've seen.
Mm.
Outside of the comics.
A lot of people are very on board with the Batman.
Yeah, I was reading... I've never seen it. A little bit, maybe, but...
we should give it a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that went for 4 years, did it, or
something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's supposed to be great, but the new 3D one didn't do as well, where... I don't know what
Batman coming at ya! Exclamation mark.
But yeah, one of the most iconic... well, there's a lot of iconic moments that in that one. There's the card playing episode where all the villains are in, like, recounting a time that they took on the Batman.
Yeah, and they got nearly killed him.
Yeah, nearly killed him. And they've all got these amazing stories. And Croc's moment is that he...
I picked up a rock and threw it at him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But probably for me, the Heart of Ice episode, and for a lot of other people, is like the definitive, like, Batman animated series episode. it reintroduces Mr. Freeze in an amazing way, which then reinvented him in the comics. Like, a lot of stuff from that show flowed over into the comics, like Harley Quinn, the new version of Freeze.
Lock up. He didn't last very long.
Throwing rocks at Batman.
Yep.
All the classic moments. Mm. So, yeah, and that was also ran at a time when those movies were going on and they were getting progressively worse.
Sure.
But that,
and more cartoony.
And more cartoony, which was weird. But that show didn't really... I mean, it had cartoony elements, obviously, because it was a cartoon. But, like, there was an episode I remember where Catwoman was literally turned into a Catwoman.
Oh,
like,
sure,
stuff
yeah.
like that. Uh-huh. But what a great show.
Yeah, but talking about Heart of Ice, actually, it's interesting. They've sort of... Because he was just like a one-dimensional cartoony villain, and then he got a tragic backstory that his wife, Nora, was... You know, she had a disease and she was dying, and she was put under cryonic suspension, and then he tried to find a cure, and then his project was shut down, and he became Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
But there's been a twist to that origin.
We spoke about this.
Did we?
Yeah, but no, go on.
That she's not actually his wife.
Yeah, she was 52
just, she was just the first woman who was chronically frozen, and he's become obsessed with her.
Yeah.
And also he murdered his mother when he was a child.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so...
Tipped her into a... frozen pool or whatever.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible. Yeah, I don't like that version as much.
Yeah.
Because it just means he's just a lunatic.
Correct, yes.
So, you know. Yeah. Anyway, well, it's still interesting, I don't know if I'd run with that. Could you think, because when Batman shows up and he stops Mr. Freeze and he's like, you're a lunatic.
Yeah.
You're thinking, what are you doing, Batman?
Yeah, exactly. This is,
you're like, but then it's revealed that, you know, that, all that backstory, etc. Spoilers. For me.
Yes.
There's a lot of iconic moments in the Batman, the Dark Knight trilogy.
Uh-huh.
But I love that first scene where you see Bruce Wayne in the prison.
Yes.
And that is, I think Christian Bale is not a great Batman voice or whatever, but I think he nails Bruce Wayne.
He's got a great Batman voice.
He nails Bruce Wayne. Uh-huh. And I love that bit in the prison where he's just like an animal. And he just like, is in that kind of pile of mud.
Sure.
And it's just this brutal brawl. And he's just like, he just beats up 20 guys.
So many elbows
and knees. Yeah. And just at the end where you see the guards drag him away and the ground is just littered with like like half beaten to death criminals.
Yes.
It's great.
That is a
like
good
just
one.
That was before he got the ninja training or whatever. It was just like raw aggression and power and whatever. Uh-huh. That was a really good way to introduce the character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I liked the bit where he killed all those ninjas in the explosion.
If we're talking about introductions in those movies, one of my favorite, the introduction of the Joker in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
We don't know it's the Joker until then. But it's the heist is meticulously planned.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and that sort of shows in the whole rest of the movie that he is this tactical genius.
Yeah.
With this mask of being a lunatic.
Mm.
He never admits to being crazy in the films. Like, a lot of people think...
He says he's not even at one point.
Yeah, he says he's not, exactly. People are like, you're a lunatic. And he's like, no, I'm not. Yeah. I'm seeing things very clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that scene where, at the start, where he's planned this heist and everybody on the team thinks their mission is to do their wait for somebody to do their job and then kill them.
Yeah.
And then make away with the loot. And he's organized it so none of them know that there's another person ready to kill them.
Yeah.
And at the end, it's just the Joker left.
Yeah.
Great.
It's great. It's really, great. Really good. Yeah.
I listed a thing. Pretty great.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's such a shame that he died that we didn't get to see the Joker again.
Yeah.
Devastating. Yeah. Oh, well. I'm sure we'll see it recast and it'll be really good. I've just got here, You Want to Get Nuts. But we spoke about that.
We spoke about You Want to Get Nuts, Let's Get Nuts.
Another comic moment, which I've talked about before multiple times, is Batman versus the Predator. I'm not going to bang on about it, but I love that comic, and I love how the end, that he really just gives the Predator a severe beating with a baseball bat. I think that's classic.
America.
Yeah, that's classic Batman.
Uh-huh.
It's the merging of two franchises that normally doesn't work, but that one's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the animated series.
Sure. Let's jump around.
Animated stuff.
Yeah.
My favorite... what are we going? Who's my two favorites? Actually, I'll tell you just one... My one favorite Batman moment is... There's an episode of Justice League Unlimited where Wonder Woman is turned into a pig. We talked about, you know... We love things being transmogrified, as you just mentioned.
Do
but,
we?
But Cersei, who's sort of a demigod...
Yeah.
Magically transforms Wonder Woman into a pig. The episode is called This Little Piggy, if you want to watch it.
I do.
And in Justice League Unlimited, there is a sort of a romance between Batman and Wonder Woman, but they can't do anything about it because they're both on the same team and blah, blah, blah. And
she would kill him.
She would crush him to death, obviously. And so Batman, you know, has to pull out all the stops to... And she goes missing in the city because she's a pig.
Like Babe.
Like Babe, exactly.
Too, pig in the city.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so he has to go out... He has to recruit Zatanna, the magician, they have to... And a couple of other people, and they have to go into the city and find her. And they eventually end up at Cersei's Got a Nightclub. Where she's like the featured singer, and you know, everybody.
I know, I've just caught on to what you're going to say.
And there is there's an intense magical battle, and obviously Cersei, being a demigod, can, you know, do this forever, and they're eventually going to run out of steam and be killed by giant panthers or, you know, whatever.
Mm.
And Batman has the ace up his sleeve where he's like, look, magic has a price. What do I need to do for you to lift this spell?
Yeah.
I will do anything. And she's like, look, I need you. What I need from you is something very precious that you've worked very hard to conceal. Something, you know, that once you lose, you'll never regain. Something soul-shattering. And everybody, the viewer is like, she wants him to reveal his identity to the world. That's it. Like, this will ruin his career as a crime fighter. This will ruin everything. But we reveal after the break that she wants him to lose his dignity and sing karaoke at the bar. And he does, and it's great.
It is. It's really...
He is the best.
And he's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll put that song at the end of this episode.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
So good. That's Kevin Conroy's actual singing.
It is, yeah. Well, he's a classically trained actor, isn't he?
There you go.
Singer and whatever, so I'm sure... That's a great moment. There's also... There's a really... for Batman comic. I don't know who wrote it, so I apologize.
It was me.
It's Bat...
You're welcome.
It's Batman. You see him doing all sorts of like karate moves, and his like feet.
Oh, that's
in the
from Short-Packed.
It's Short-Packed, okay. And he's like, yeah, feet, arms in the air, and eventually it goes panel to panel of that, and then like the last panel is you see he's on one of those Dance Dance Revolution machines, and there's two kids watching him. They're like, oh wow, he really is the best at everything. So yeah, but speaking of the Justice League Unlimited series,
yes,
there's an episode where there's a character called Ace, who's this girl who's got basically the powers. It starts off where she can like put images in your mind or whatever, but it eventually evolves to she can just change the fabric of time.
Yep. Uh-huh.
So and she's also dying, and she's altered the fabric of time so much that when she dies, she's gonna have this brain aneurysm. She's just gonna kill everybody,
right?
Because it's the ripple effect or whatever. Uh-huh. And so Amanda Waller makes this machine, this little thing that does like if you go and use this on her, it'll kill her without.
Ruining the world.
Without ruining the world. So Batman's like, I'll do it. I'll kill her. And you know...
Can I use a gun? I love using guns.
So
Can I kill her and then wrap a noose around her neck and fly around in the Batplane?
So he goes... He grabs it and he goes in. And you kind of think that he is going to do it. Or he has the intentions to do it. And obviously when he goes in there, she's like, look, I know you're not going to do it. I can read your mind or whatever.
Uh-huh.
She's like, I'm really scared and whatever. I don't want to die. And then he just sits on the swing with her and he holds her hand. And then she just dies.
Mm.
And it's kind of a downer. Yeah. But it's a really, really good moment. And it's just another thing where Batman, he's not only saving the world, but he's also looking out for people as well. Uh-huh. He's like, he knows that Wonder Woman would go in and kill that girl.
Uh-huh.
Or anybody else would probably go in and kill that girl. But he's like, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. But I'll do it. You know,
Superman,
the Batman
way. Stay your neck-breaking hands. I'll take care of this. I got this.
So yeah, it's a really good moment. I mean, it's not as funny as the scene, but
any Batman moment where he's not using his fists is kind of quite affecting. I don't know if that's just...
where he's using his feet.
Yeah, that's right.
Or a sword.
Or a sword. Or a gun. Noose. Grenades.
Grenades.
Yeah. So much. But like, is that because he's just so brutal all the time that any time we're like, oh, that's oddly effective.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah.
There's a one shot called Batman Planetary.
Yeah.
Which is a team up between, well, it's not really a team up. There's a Wildstorm character's called Planetary. They're a team and they sort of investigate the secret history of the world. And that secret history of the world is like comic book superheroes and characters and stuff like that. It's an image book.
Mm.
Everybody should read that. It's one of my favorites. But there is a one shot where they go to their universe's version of Gotham City because there's like a killer on the loose and he has some sort of trans-dimensional powers.
Yeah.
And everybody should read this before I spoil it. But
what was it called again?
It's called Batman Planetary.
All right, cool.
And they go to their version of Gotham City because there's this trans-dimensional killer on the loose. Like he's got some sort of weird dimensional abilities. And so they find him and his powers erupt, and then they go through a series of alternate realities, and they discover that in every Gotham City but their own, there is a Batman.
Okay.
And they have to they encounter him several. So they run into, like, classic modern day Batman. They run into 1960s Batman. They run into Dark Knight Returns Batman.
Yeah.
They run into a future dystopia Batman. And eventually they sort of run into they meet the real Batman, the current one.
Yeah.
And they realize that he's more than this vigilante. He's this sort of force of the universe, kind of. He's a force of nature.
Yeah.
And instead of just getting this murderer and just killing him, he sort of, because he's not a killer. He's just he's like this sort of mutant freak whose powers are manifesting without his knowledge, and he's kind of
okay. Yeah.
He's on the run, and he tells him to remember his parents. Like, he remembers that.
Okay.
Yeah. He's like, do you remember your parents? Maybe that will, you know, help you. It's affecting because he doesn't
go in and beat him up. Yeah.
But he's like, look, do you remember your parents? Do you remember them smiling? You have to focus on that and be calm and be still.
Yeah.
And find a moment of happiness, and then maybe that will stop this happening.
Yeah.
It does. And Batman breaks his neck. That's not true.
Happy Father's Day, everyone.
Happy Father's Day, everybody.
That's really nice. It's Batman nice. Planetary. Yeah. All right. Well, that's what you're reading this week. You only get one.
Aww.
So.
Aww. I got so much to read.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of alternative versions of Batman,
yes,
there's the version in the one of the latest Justice League movies, the Flashpoint Paradox. It's also in the comic, obviously, where Batman is
Thomas Wayne.
Yeah, because in the alley, it was Bruce Wayne that was killed.
Uh-huh.
Martha Wayne goes crazy, turns into the Joker somehow,
right?
And Thomas Wayne becomes this gun-toting psychopath Batman.
Yes, finally, guns.
Yeah, and he's a really awesome version. And if you haven't seen the Flashpoint Paradox, it's really, really good. But at the end, just before they set all the dimensions right again, or the Flash does, Thomas Wayne writes a letter to Bruce Wayne back in his dimension. So Thomas Wayne's Batman then hands it to the Flash, and the Flash then hands it to Batman. And Batman reads this letter from his dad, who he hasn't heard from since he was shot in the alley.
Right.
That's a really, really nice moment.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Does anyone get their neck broken?
Yeah, and
okay, good.
So, yeah. You know what's another great moment, I think?
Yes.
I'm just going to... the Batman, the Bat credit card is good.
What? Is it good?
No, it's not.
Thank you.
People remember it, though.
They do, don't they?
The scene, it's another quiet moment. It's in the Dark Knight. It's just after, if you haven't seen the Dark Knight, you have, so don't worry about it. But where after Rachel Dawes is killed.
Yep.
And then it's Batman just sitting alone in the skyscraper. Bruce Wayne has just got the helmet in his lap.
Uh-huh.
And he's telling Alfred that he's like, she was going to run away with me and we were going to get married and whatever. And Alfred's got the letter that says, "Dear Batman, I'm breaking up with you."
Right, yeah.
And he's just like, righto. And he just like puts it away. Like, and he just lets him live with that until the next movie where he just tells him.
Sure, yeah.
Just off the head. But I think that's a really, really good moment.
I mean, it's kind of a dick move on Alfred's.
Yeah, it is. I think, do you think Batman would have been better off knowing that?
Yes.
And not...
Yes. It's not even a question.
Because he could have then gone to Harvey Dent and given that letter to him or something. Well, Harvey knew actually that she chose him anyway.
Yeah.
But he didn't tell Batman that or whatever. Also, Batman kills Harvey Dent, so...
Yeah. Par for the course, really.
It is.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But do you remember when Batman... Well, we talked about Guy Gardner last week.
Yes.
When Batman punched out Guy Gardner.
Yes. Because in the, I guess, the late 80s, early 90s, Batman was the head of Justice League International.
Yeah.
And Guy Gardner, second string Green Lantern Guy Gardner, was not happy with that.
Yeah.
And so there's a very... There's a very famous, very funny scene where... Very funny. It's funny enough.
It's very funny.
Funny enough for a comic book. Where Guy Gardner challenges the leadership. And of course, he's got the Green Lantern ring, which can do anything.
Yeah.
And Batman's like, all right, let's do this then. And he knocks him out in one punch.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Have you read All-Star Batman and Robin, The Boy Wonder?
I don't think I have.
It's Frank Miller after he went insane.
Good. I'm liking this already.
And it's... But it's Jim Lee art.
Okay.
So it came out more or less the same time as All-Star Superman.
Mm.
But even though All-Star Superman is an amazing, affecting, you know, a single story.
Yeah.
All-Star Batman and Robin's insane because Frank Miller's gone insane. There's a couple of good ones, but it does contain the line, It's Batman talking to Robin.
Oh, of course.
And he's
like,
who the hell do you think I am? I'm the goddamn Batman. That's the best one.
I think he even uses the phrase, what are you retarded?
He does say, what are you retarded or something. Yeah, that's amazing that made it to print.
Isn't it?
I think that they were like...
It's because it's Frank Miller, though. That's why.
Yeah, I think they were like, we're so happy to have him back.
Yeah.
We'll do anything. But I think a lot of... Also, if you read... You should definitely read it all. It's like 12 issues or something. Mm. But you should definitely read it all because I think Frank Miller went... I can get Jim Lee to draw anything. Like, the Batmobile can fly and just blow people up. And there's a scene, actually, where... Because in this, Batman's insane.
Yeah.
In this particular limited series. It's out of continuity. And he's insane, and so all the other heroes are just out to stop him.
Mm.
And so at one point, Green Lantern goes in to get him. And Batman, you know, lures him into a particular location.
Mm.
And, of course... Green Lantern's ring at the time was vulnerable to the color yellow.
Yeah.
And so Batman lures him into a room that has been painted. He gets some child labor involved. He gets Robin to paint the entire room yellow. And then he paints himself yellow. So Green Lantern is lured into this room and then the door shut. And he's in a room where literally everything is yellow. And Batman
Cole
and Robin
plays yellow,
are covered in yellow paint. And, like, the only thing to drink is lemonade in the room. So there's literally nothing, like, he can do. And if there is going to be a physical fight, Green Lantern is going to be killed immediately because he's got no options.
Yeah.
And it's not... But it isn't a fight. It's just a calm conversation.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Green Lantern's like, what are you doing? You're insane out there. You're scaring people. And he's like, yeah, I am scaring people.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Frank Miller is great and crazy.
I don't know if he's great.
He is crazy.
He is crazy. Yeah.
That's brilliant. And that's another quiet moment where, like, you could have beat him up.
Yeah.
But he chose not to. He's like, look, I can beat you up.
Yeah.
And I will if
I
you
will
keep...
I will later.
If you keep making me do this. But, yeah. Going back to
Actually, the only thing that would have made that better if there's, like, after... Like, the last panel of that particular issue is, like, Greenland's, like... going to bed and he's like, oh, another crazy day, how do I keep doing these? And then he looks up and Batman's just there in his room and he just punches him in the balls. That'd be great, right?
That would be great.
Sorry, you were saying something that wasn't involving punching someone in the balls?
The bit in the first Batman movie where the Batwing flies in silhouettes at the moon.
Yeah. You didn't think that was corny?
No.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, it is corny.
Yeah.
But it's pretty great, right?
Yeah, it's great.
That old Batwing scene is amazing. Like, it's stupid, uh-huh. But it's pretty great.
And it's another scene where Batman doesn't kill anybody.
Yeah.
But not for lack of trying.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of machine guns and missiles on that thing.
Yeah, yeah, lasers, exactly.
All sorts.
Have you ever read Batman and Dracula Red Rain?
Yes, but I don't remember anything about it.
So, basically, it's for those who don't know, it's Batman fighting Dracula.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty great.
Yeah, duh.
Yeah. It's an Elseworld comic, so it's not set in real continuity.
Yeah.
Because I won't spoil the ending, but I actually read that this week because I just read a bunch of kind of different kind of Batman stuff.
Uh-huh.
And there's one panel in particular, or a couple panels in particular I really, really like, which I think sums him up perfectly. He goes and speaks to this woman who, I think she's a librarian or something, about Dracula, because he has to fight a Dracula.
Sure, absolutely.
Our Dracula.
Fighting a Dracula is one of the scariest things you can do.
And he's like, our Dracula's real and whatever.
Sure, yeah. I'm a little bit scared of Draculas if I'm honest with you, and I'm hoping they're not real, but our Dracula's real?
And she says to him as he's leaving, she's like, by the way, you are aware that to some people you are not real, to others you are very real, but entirely supernatural, and there are those who even worship you. And then Batman's response is, there are those who worship money, but it seldom improves their lives, nor does the money care. So implying that basically, I know people worship me, I don't care.
Huh.
Like, so I think that's really great.
And also, by extension, I'm money. Yes. So money, baby.
And I think, you know what, we're talking about iconic Batman moments.
We were talking about
yes,
that.
Yes, we were. The guy who runs the goddamn Batman Twitter feed is the best, right?
Yeah.
He's got like, I don't know, a few hundred thousand followers, but he and you see his followers and then... It's people he follows, and it's zero.
Uh-huh, so yep.
That's
power move.
Yeah, that in itself. I mean, the tweets aren't all... They don't all hit, but uh-huh. they're pretty great.
Sure.
And they're mostly about Batman making Alfred do menial tasks and killing Robins. That's what it's basically about, yeah. Mm. Got another one?
What do you want to know? Give me comic book or movie.
I'll go comic book.
Okay. Here's Batman fighting wolves. This is Matt Wagner who created...
Wolves.
Yeah, wolves. He created the concept of wolves. No, he created Grendel, who I've talked about briefly on this. But there's a...
Who's Grendel again?
He's like a sophisticated assassin.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Yep. Anyway, he did a one-shot called Batman and the Masked Monk, which mm-hmm. was sort of a retelling of the original, like one of the very earliest Batman stories where he's shooting people and et cetera.
Yep.
Stakes through the heart and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
But he's fighting wolves.
Cool.
I know you love a good wolf fight.
You know I love a good wolf fight.
Yep. That's not really it. That's the
It doesn't cop out on the wolf fighting either, does
Absolutely
it? It doesn't cut
not.
Away.
Yeah, yeah.
Another, this I think is my last Batman movie moment.
Okay.
There's one scene in The Dark Knight where after the Joker busts into the party and he's looking for Harvey Dent and Batman, Bruce Wayne just slides out the side door.
Sure.
And this thug walks up to him and he's like, Bruce Wayne's just walking.
Yeah.
And this thug's with a shotgun's like, yeah, you can't get through here. Where do you think you're going or whatever? And without like breaking stride, he knocks this guy out, dismantles his gun, drops it, and just keeps walking. Like he doesn't even pause. He just like goes straight
That's
through
right,
him.
That's yeah.
And you don't, I don't even, the first time I saw it, you don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Because it's just such a smooth kind of moment. But that's a really terrific Bruce Wayne kind of moment. Because he's just like, I don't have time for this. I'm not, this is, like, this isn't anything, I'm not going to do anything fancy. I'm just going to go through this guy.
Yeah,
you know, just keep going. It's great.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm. Mm. Movie moment?
My favorite part of The Dark Knight is probably the magic pencil.
Sure, yeah. It's really amazing, yeah. Yeah. Was that sport for you going in?
No, I didn't.
Because I know a few people, for me, were like some people that told them.
Is that because you
Because I sport?
Yeah. Straight away, you're in the cinema. You're like, guess what just happened? You should have been in here with me, you idiots.
Yeah, that's a pretty intense, it's a pretty great moment. It's hilarious.
Also in that truck flip, that's great. And the interrogation scene.
Yeah, I was looking through some lists of iconic moments, and I think that's number one in a few places, yeah.
Okay.
That's great, isn't it?
Yes.
It's got great Batman voice.
Sure.
It's got great Joker.
Uh-huh.
It's terrific, yeah.
It's got Batman brutalizing somebody.
Yeah, which is the best kind of Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. We haven't really talked about the Arkham games.
We should, though.
The two moments for me. The first one is Arkham Asylum, where Batman shows up with the Joker, and he drags him in, and he puts him on the trolley and wheels him through.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like a cutscene, but it's not, because you control Batman,
and
you just walk the Joker through Asylum, and you walk past a whole lot of criminals and doctors and whatever, and you see Croc like lumber
and
past.
Criminal doctors.
Criminal doctors, yeah.
They're all a bit mad at
body crooks and Yeah, and you see Croc walk past, and you're like, holy shit, because like, you know you're going to have to see him later.
Uh-huh.
But that... You know from that opening scene that that's going to be an amazing game.
Yes.
It really sets the tone.
And that scene is replicated about three quarters of the way through the game where...
They make it look like your console glitches.
Yes. Mm. That was a very panicky moment. And then it's turned around, but the Joker is then driving you to Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're on the...
The thingamajig.
You're on the trolley, yeah.
Yeah. It's in a scarecrow hallucination-y thing, isn't
it?
Yes. Those are great, aren't they?
That is probably my favourite moment. Especially... They're the very first one, I think.
Mm.
There's because you're dosed with scarecrow fear gas.
Yeah.
And then you start walking down a corridor and then it becomes more outdoors than indoors. And
then
it turns out you're in Crime Alley.
Yeah.
Where your parents were murdered.
And then you're a little boy.
And then you're little Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything, and then it just becomes a terrifying nightmare world.
Yeah, and then it's a weird side scrolly.
Yeah, that bit wasn't great.
Where you fight skeletons.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Payoff not as good as the concept, but.
But they tried to replicate it in the second one as well with
the Mad Hatter.
Yeah, which isn't. It doesn't
not
play.
As good.
Or, and also where Batman's dying because he's poisoned or whatever.
Yeah.
And whatever. You think he sees like the gates of heaven and whatever.
Yeah.
Also the Mr. Freeze fight.
Oh,
I think that one thing you can kind of fault those games on, not all the villain fights are great.
Sure.
A lot of them is a big guy that runs at you and you jump on his back and you punch him or he runs into a wall. But the Mr. Freeze fight, you have to use all the tactics that you've learned, which is what a good boss fight is.
Sure.
It makes you use everything that you've learned up to that point. So you can only take him down. You can only use one specific way that Batman can take someone down once, and then Mr. Freeze learns from that, and so you can't do that. So if you pop out of a grate and smash his skull, he'll freeze all the grates, so you can't do it again. So it's really, really good. And I hate Mr. Freeze in that, because I saved his wife and he didn't even thank me properly.
What a prick.
Yeah.
I'm glad his wife wasn't really his wife or something.
Any more?
In the movies or in the
community? Anything at all. Because I've got one more.
I've got literally one more.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
I'm sure we'll do this again.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah.
When people love listing things.
Yeah.
We certainly love listing things. Here's my two favourite Batman comic book moments.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is in Batman Year One,
mm-hmm.
where he has to fight an entire SWAT team in a burnt out, exploded building.
Yes.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And it sort of shows, you know, he's a guy with no... He's run out of equipment and weapons. He's got like three poison darts left, you know, that he had in his boot or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And there, you know, it's a fully armed corrupt SWAT team who are out to kill him just because.
Yeah.
And he's been shot several times and he's got, you know, very little way out, but he's like, okay, all I have to do is hold out until my backup arrives. And the backup is, he set a little sonar device in his boot and the backup is an incredibly huge swarm of bats.
Yeah.
Which it replicated in Batman Begins.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and so. Also that SWAT team thing's kind of like in The Dark Knight where he thunders in and takes out the SWAT team.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing, yeah.
And it's, you know, and you see it from the perspective of Jim Gordon who's on the outside of the building.
Yeah.
And you just see, like, you know, SWAT team members being punched out the building, like, through walls. And then Gordon looks up, you know, at the sunrise, and he sees an enormous swarm of bats, and he's like, "Oh, this is trouble."
does he just walk out like in the movie? I can't remember how that ends.
He escapes. He steals a motorcycle. He steals a police motorcycle.
Yeah.
And then he gets the hell out of there in the swarm of bats.
Yeah.
Everybody else is being bitten by bats, so they're a little distracted. And he goes to like a clothing store, and he like pays for a suit.
Okay.
And he puts the suit on and he presumably walks away.
What a legend.
Yeah, I know, right?
What a bloody
legend.
And my
favourite Batman moment of all time. No, probably. It's one of my favourites.
Sure.
Don't make me choose. They're like my children. Don't make me pick one. Especially not on Father's Day that I know about. But it's the first Justice League. The early 2000 Justice League reboot by Grant Morrison, where the Earth is visited by a super team called the Hyper Clan,
mm-hmm.
who have decided that they are going to come down and help the world. They're going to, you know, end crime and war, and they're going to, you know, grow crops in desert lands.
Highly recommend this, by the way. People haven't read it. Yeah.
Spoilers. This is the spoiler, because this is my favorite.
But yeah.
Go and read it now. It's probably on Comixology for like $4 or something.
Yeah.
And Batman doesn't trust him, of course, because they're doing good work.
Yeah.
A bunch of pricks. And of course, the Hyper Clan then start executing supervillains.
Yeah.
You know, just to clear some space, I guess.
Sure.
And then they realize that the Justice League are onto them, and then they decide to just full on kill them all.
Mm.
And the Batplane is crashed in Antarctica or the Arctic.
I can't remember. Ice.
Know. Yeah. It's certainly crashed in some ice. Certainly, and it looks like it's curtains for everybody.
Yeah,
and the Hyper Clan take out sort of the rest of the Justice League.
Yeah,
kind of, you know, tie them up and have them.
And they leave Batman in the crash plane
because they're like, who cares?
He's a guy. Who
we've
cares?
Got, we've got. Yeah, it turns out that these guys, you know, one's a super speedster, one's a shape changer, one has like Superman's powers, et cetera, et cetera. And then they're like, who cares? Well, you know, he's just a guy.
Yeah.
Is he just a man?
Yes.
Yeah, he is. That's certainly true. But of course, Batman has figured out their secret, and he discovers that they are in fact white Martians, like Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
So they all have all those powers. They're all super speedsters. They all have shape changing abilities. They all have Superman's powers. They can all, you know, blah blah blah. Which sounds bad for Batman. Ultimately.
Yeah, yeah.
But of course, Batman knows that their one weakness is fire, and so. In a moment where we think that he's going to be just trounced by like three of these super villains, he just sets a ring of fire around them and then making them vulnerable again and just proceeds to pulp them all. Which is pretty.
It's brilliant. And there's that scene afterwards where the leader of the Hyperclan's talking to Superman and he's like, how is this possible? He's just a guy. And Superman's like, he's the most dangerous man in the world.
Yeah.
You guys have hit some serious shit.
Yeah. And everybody in the team like comes together, like Superman realizes that, you know, the kryptonite they're holding him with isn't real, it's just an illusion, and he breaks free, and, you know, everybody else does as well.
Mm.
And then, but it's that moment where you're like, why is Batman on the Justice League? He's got no powers, he's a rich guy with a plane.
Yeah, a crashed plane.
A crashed plane, he used to have a plane, he's a guy with no plane. But it's because he is the most dangerous man in the world and he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, everybody in the Justice League really knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Great moment.
So, I haven't just spoiled that for you.
Yes.
Go and read that.
You
have read it, so that's fine.
I have, yeah. My moment is... Well, you actually lent me that comic as well, about 10 years ago.
We've mentioned it so many times in this podcast.
We have, yeah. Mine isn't as good, but probably as iconic. There's just one panel, and I don't know what it's from, but there's a villain, and he's going to grab a gun out of his pocket, at the front of his pants, and Batman kicks the gun, and the gun goes off in his pants.
Right.
And it says something like underneath, Batman, he'll make you shoot your own dick off.
Right. So. No, that's iconic. You're right. That's what most people think of when they think of Batman.
But that's it for me. That's
love it.
I mean, I'd love to come back to this because I love talking about Batman.
Me
but
too.
We could do this about other superheroes as well.
We can just talk about Batman forever.
Yeah.
Next week, let's talk about Batman.
Batman Forever, third Batman movie.
The Batman podcast.
Yeah.
Batman Forever.
Well, I've got some listener that some people have written in.
Uh-huh.
I'll just you've got the Reddit open there as well, don't you? Or you
yes,
will have the Reddit.
I will have it open.
While I read this. Uh-huh. This is from Chris Turner. He says it simply says Batman 66, just legendary.
Absolutely
true.
Yep.
XZ Neil says anything from the 60s TV show, especially when the Joker or Riddler are present. They are brilliant, aren't they?
They are. The Riddler was more. The Riddler was darker in that. Like he was more the. I mean, there was no real murderous characters, but he was the Joker was more of a clown
back
then. Just funny heists and stuff.
Yeah,
The Riddler was much more sinister in that. But yeah, Frank Gorshin was great as the Riddler.
Yeah.
And of course, Cesar Romero is the Joker who never got rid of his mustache.
just painted it
over the mustache, yeah.
Liam M. says, I don't think I can go past the I'm Batman. That's it. There's also a moment like that in Batman Begins, which isn't as iconic, is it?
No.
But all the iconic Batman and Robin scene with the bat boobs, bat butt, and bat nipples.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking about I think the equivalent in The Dark Knight, the equivalent to I'm Batman is, I'm not wearing hockey pads.
Not, where is he?
No.
Not that?
No, it's hockey pads.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Good point.
That's mentioned here by Ratstorm on Reddit.
Ratstorm.
But
it.
That is great, yeah.
If
you ever see anybody wearing hockey gear, make that happen. Like in public, I've done it a couple of times. It's great. It's so satisfying. Hey, buddy, you know what the difference between you and me is? I'm not wearing hockey pants. And then just leave. Because you've peaked at that point.
You've peaked. Exactly. The Brute does a theme song.
Yes.
He goes, he loved the Batman alternate reality twist in the recent-ish Flashpoint Paradox animated movie.
Yes.
So yeah, that's actually what made me remember that moment. So thank you, The Brute, who does a theme song and reminds me of great things.
Sure.
So, what a legend. Got another one there?
Vexicon on Reddit says he beat up my dad and stole $350 from him. I don't think that's true
dollars?
Necessarily.
$350? Or
$3.50.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It might be true.
Yeah, you never know. I haven't read every issue of Batman. So.
This is from S. Potter. She's the official cat who freaks out in James's arms.
Sure.
You know the cats you hold. You don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I believe this is a great moment. I believe it's a Mr. Freeze episode of Batman 66, and the police wish to lay a trap for him with the help of Bruce Wayne. So Chief O'Hara contacts Bruce Wayne. Commissioner Gordon uses the Batphone to update Batman. The scene progresses to where Batman and Bruce Wayne have to coordinate, so Gordon holds two phones next to each other.
I remember this.
Receiver to receiver, and Batman and Bruce Wayne have a conversation, which means Bruce Batman is shown to switching phones to talk into a feigning conversation between two people, and Gordon, who is listening, does not think, these two kind of sound similar.
Right.
It's a funny situation and hilarious
I
scene
remember
to
that.
Watch.
That's,
it
that's
is great. Right. Yeah. It's brilliant. Another one there?
Joel A on Reddit, Batman meeting Sherlock Holmes. That was sort of Neil Adams era. That was great, yeah.
That was old Sherlock Holmes, wasn't it?
Yes, he was very old. He was incredibly long lived because he ate a lot of honey. I don't know.
Makes sense.
But Batman's like, oh, this guy's
I would have thought all the opiates he smoked would have balanced out all that, all that honey.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is from Austin, the official gem grabber of the show. I don't know if anyone's going to be able to top this, but I've got a Batman story for you. A few years ago at my middle school.
We should close out on this.
Sure. We haven't gone through the Twitter, so I apologize
okay,
for
cool.
Yeah, I didn't go through all the Twitter, so... Thank you for all your
moments. A lot of bat spray.
A lot of bat spray. A few years ago at my middle school, I had a friend who was obsessed with Batman. For Halloween, he dressed up as Batman. He came to school on Halloween and with his Batman costume on. As he was going to class, he tripped on his cape, fell down the stairs, broke his arm, and bashed his head open. He now has 7 stitches above his eye. That's my story. That's an iconic
that
Batman
moment. That
is
definitely an iconic Batman moment, yeah.
So there we go. That's pretty great. Yeah, have you got any other ones to add? The Reddit's a good place to discuss it, I guess, or on Twitter or whatevs, you know? Uh-huh. We're definitely going to sign up this week, aren't we?
I keep saying that. We're capable of it. We're adults.
We are.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to put a post of yourself out, the thing of yourself.
This one just says, do a Die Another Day commentary. Terrific. Last, final Pierce Brosnan James Bond film. We should, shouldn't we?
We should. Yeah, we should do more bad movies, shouldn't we? Because I think we'd have more to say.
Should we force people to watch bad movies?
Yes.
Great.
All right. You know what it's time for now, Mason?
What's it time for?
What we reading? What we gonna read?
Theme song! What we reading? What we gonna read?
I'm doing the theme. What are we reading today? So yeah, have you got a what we reading
this week?
I have
one this
week.
It's not bad.
Oh, you used it. Don't worry about it.
Oh, no. Oh.
Now, what do you got?
I was going to be like, I should find out Batman, but this is actually what I read this week. It's called God Hates Astronauts. It's an Image comic.
Yep.
There was a webcomic for a while, which I didn't read, but I went back and I read it later.
Like, webcomic.
I know, right? Ugh. But it's basically, superhero insanity.
Mm-hmm.
It's, there are a dysfunctional superhero team called the Power Persons 5.
Yep.
One is a man who has the head of like a disembodied ghost cow. One is a character called the Anti-Mugger. He just wants to stop mugging. He's got no real interest in saving the world or anything like that. They're basically a superhero team that have been they have a contract with NASA to stop people attempting to become like homemade astronauts.
Okay, sure.
And there's a lot. It's it's brutal and it makes no sense, but it's very funny.
Who's the author?
Brian Brown is his name.
Brian Brown. You mean the Australian actor Brian Brown?
That's what I mean. Yeah, he's branching out. But it's on Image.
Okay.
And what I would do? There's a very good summary of like what came before on like the webcomic version, like in the actual paper comic. So just read that.
Okay.
And then go back and read the original.
That's incredible that that's gone from a webcomic to an Image comic.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what a success story.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I think he's responsible I think he's done some other Image comics like in his time.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. That's
pretty great.
It's nonsense.
Mine is another Elseworld story, which I read this week.
Uh-huh.
It's called Batman Gotham by Gaslight.
I remember Gotham
probably
by Gaslight,
familiar
yeah.
With it. Yeah, it's like a 50, 60 pages or whatever. It's basically Batman, all the same characters, but it's set in Victoria era,
uh-huh.
Gotham. And Jack the Ripper comes to Gotham, and Batman, who's kind of relatively new,
mm-hmm.
has to stop Jack the Ripper.
Great.
And it's just pretty good, yeah. You know? It's got some good aesthetics and art and whatever, and
uh-huh.
It's got an old-worldy kind of Batman kind of costume and whatever. It's good. Uh-huh. Get into it. And I'm also reading at the moment, and I'm really, really enjoying it. It's called Batman Gothic. It's by Grant Morrison.
Uh-huh.
I'm not that far in, but there's this villain who's apparently come back from the dead who's killing a lot of mob bosses,
uh-huh.
And he might be someone that Batman knows, and he's referred to as the man without a shadow. And it's kind of at the point where I'm at in the story, it's not sure whether this guy is like a supernatural kind of being or not. So I'm interested to see where it goes. If it's Grant Morrison, it could literally go any direction.
I thought you were going to say, is it if it's Grant Morrison? Like he's inserted himself into the comic book again.
Sure.
I haven't done that in ages. I'm going to be, okay.
That's it. So that's what I'm going to recommend. And I've got also a question.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this is a listener letter that ties into another listener letter.
Okay,
so
sure.
So they cancel each other out.
Okay,
so that way
great.
We don't have to do any work.
Fantastic.
You happy with that?
Yes.
Okay. This is from Cam. Listen. Starts like that. Great start.
Great. Yeah, that's good.
Firstly, I'm the official
boss. I respect that start.
Firstly, I'm the official boss of the Weekly Planet.
Good. Doesn't have to ask. Love it.
So let's jot that down real quick. Secondly, I have a really annoying friend who keeps badgering me to read more female Marvel superhero comics. I really want to shut him up, so can you recommend any or give me enough backstory on some interesting ones so that I can pretend like I've read them? This will also help me fit into my feminist rallies I often attend.
There's a lot to unpack in this.
It
what
is,
I'm gonna do
yeah.
is ignore it and just recommend some stuff.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Yeah. Also, as the official boss, I'm cancelling the podcast and reinstating it as a Mexican food podcast.
All right. Look, we'll have a little siesta and then we'll get into that, all right?
But if you've got some stuff, I've got a letter that ties into this.
Okay,
but,
well, do you want to do that first?
Ryan E., who's written it, he said he wanted to recommend Warren Ellis's Transmetropolitan.
That's great.
Which you love. I know. I haven't read that yet. But he's also recommending New Miss Marvel Reboot.
There you go, yes.
So read one of those. But, well, they both have female protagonist heroes. Peoples, don't they?
Transmetropolitan doesn't.
There's no female characters in it?
No, he's got some. The main character is a guy called Spider Jerusalem.
Yeah.
He's like kind of. He's a.
Part Hunter S. Thompson, Alan Moore, and Frog Thor.
Yeah, let's. Yeah, okay, sure.
So he says.
Why not?
But he also says Miss Marvel book is one of the best new heroes since Invincible. So yeah. I think I might check that out as well. We should do an all female.
It's really good. She's interesting. She's female superhero, also Islamic faith.
Oh, cool.
So
okay.
That's interesting.
Cool. Excellent.
Not here nor there, but it's interesting.
It's here and there.
It is both here and there.
Yeah. Got anything else there, or should we move it along?
Also, read some She-Hulk.
Okay.
Just read just any of the most recent stuff.
So, okay.
Yeah, totally.
Is it Shulk for sure? Is that right?
Some people say Shulky. Sure.
Old Shulky.
Old Shulky.
That's what we're reading for this week.
Yep.
Party on. Okay, we've got a few letters here, Mason.
I'm ready.
This one is interesting. It says, on the topic of DC films being serious, remember we talked about that last week, there's a no-jokes policy.
No-jokes policy.
Which apparently isn't true anymore anyway.
Okay.
And somebody also pointed out, remember we were like, why is Seth Rogen talking about this? But Seth Rogen's writing Preacher. Somebody tweeted me that.
Interesting.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
The reverse question can be asked of Marvel films, I believe. Are Marvel films becoming too silly? I think on the back of the original Iron Man and how serious film that was, and compare it to the Iron Man 3, in which all seriousness is undermined by a joke. Ronan in Guardians is distracted, defeated by a joke. Loki in the Avengers is a non-stop punching bag. Every Marvel villain is taken out by a second character, cause their own death, or just fall into darkness, like the classic Disney death. And several characters are like RDJ are becoming, you know, like they just make quips and gags.
Sure.
And I feel like Marvel has made makes jokes and light of their characters and make it easy for the general audience to get, and that's why the films are getting sillier. If that's the case, I'm glad DC will have a serious tone. I'm just saying there's two sides to this argument, and DC seem to be getting bullied. Fair point.
Yep.
But also to
I'm sick to death of that multi-billion dollar corporation being bullied. I'm sick of it.
But look, I think the problem is why people like take these rumors on face value, including us, is we just haven't seen...
It's fun too,
but we haven't seen enough of the DC stuff recently. Yeah. We're only going off Man of Steel.
Put some more movies out, DC.
Yeah. So, look, it remains to be seen...
Certainly does, because they haven't put any bloody movies out.
Yeah, exactly.
It literally reminds me.
It makes a good point, but I think Guardians struck the right comedic tone because that is it's a wacky space team.
Yes.
And that's the way to do it. Uh-huh. But I think the tone that they should hit is in similar to Iron Man and Captain America Winter Soldier. I think that's my favourite kind of tone in these movies.
Yeah, yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, it is...
I am right.
Wow. All right, let's stop there then.
Sorry, go on.
No, that's all I got. I was hoping you'd cut me off, actually.
Yeah, cool.
Look, so, it depends what kind of mood I'm in.
Sure, absolutely.
But Winter Soldier was great, and as was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Exactly, so. And The Dark Knight, which is incredibly grim and not a lot of humor, is great. So, you know, different things.
Yeah, yeah.
Different things. This is from Gabriel, who's a zoologist. We paid out zoologists a few weeks ago. Now we got one.
Did we really?
Yes.
Sounds like something we'd do.
He wrote a really nice letter, but the specific part that I'm going to read here, he would like to hear an episode discussion about the limits of shared universes, particularly in film and particularly Marvel. Basically, how many Avengers are too many Avengers? My personal opinion is that they've already done too much in the first Avengers, which I enjoyed, but it didn't actually give us sufficient time with all the characters. I felt that Thor and Hawkeye, and then he's got in brackets. Shut up, James, he's cool in the films.
Yep.
Remains to be seen. There was actually a scene from... He was supposed to be in Captain America, and there's a scene where he goes head-to-head with Captain America.
Interesting.
And I read about it. It sounds really, really great. It's a shame it wasn't in it.
But... Do you mean in the first Captain America?
No, sorry, the most recent one.
Okay, right.
Because he's a member of S.H.I.E.L.D., and they set... Basically, Hawkeye and Captain America have the showdown, and they... fisticuffs and whatever. And then just as, like, Captain America's on the ground or whatever, Hawkeye, like, whispers something to him, like... You've got a tracer in your pocket.
Right.
And then...
Or are you just happy to see me?
Yes.
That I know about.
So that would have been cool.
Yeah.
And he thinks that adding more to Age of Ultron won't help. So
it's a weird balance. Like, the entire reason I think they created, like, you know, the Ultimate Universe was because there were you know, the Ultimate Comic Book Universe, is because in the main Marvel Universe, there were just too many superheroes.
Yeah.
There's just, like, an insane number. There's hundreds, there's thousands at this point. You know,
that we know about.
Nice. That in, you know, in the aftermath of the Marvel, the Civil War event, there were all the superheroes were registered, and there was, like, you know, a dozen heroes for every state in America.
Yeah.
So there was, you know, hundreds of them, so... Yeah.
And everyone's got favorites.
Yep.
And, you know, like, I'm sure different personalities at Marvel want different characters in, and so... I think they're going to have to... They're going to start swapping people out and killing people off.
Yeah,
I think that's the way. Especially now we've got... Not only... We've got a whole lot of secondary characters like War Machine and Falcon and, and whatever, whatever. And plus we've got new characters coming in as well. So it's going to be a big roster.
And, yeah, and it, because after a while it becomes an insane world where there's hundreds of superheroes and nobody seems to mind that much.
Yeah.
Like, that's a weird universe. Like, I think we're at a good balance now where people are like, this is, you know, there's superheroes in the world, this is amazing kind of thing. But you can't let it, you can't really let it be just an everyday thing, maybe, especially in the movies, I don't think. That's the problem I think they had with the X-Men movies, especially, you know, X-Men 3. At a certain point, there were just hundreds of mutants, thousands of mutants, all having overlapping powers.
Yeah.
It's a little weird. That's in the X-Men comic books. They actually, there was the Nation of Genosha, which is where, you know, at one point there were millions of mutants in the world, you know, and they just, I think in Grant Morrison's new X-Men, he just blew up Genosha.
Yeah.
Because it was like, well, they're not interesting. If there's millions of them,
who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although there is a really good series called District X, which is about sort of like a mutant ghetto in New York City. Where Bishop is like consulting with the police. He's like on a you know, police squad.
Okay, cool.
It's really good.
And they're all regular peeps, and he's Bishop.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Bishop from Aliens.
Yeah. And Lance Henriksen. Yeah.
Awesome. Well said, Mason.
Thank you.
Last one. Last email. This is from Ralph. Cake Boss Ralph.
Oh, I love that guy.
He's great on
Big
Twitter.
Big boost of the show.
Big boost of the show.
It's his birthday this week.
It is his birthday. It says Ralph.
Happy birthday, Ralph.
It's the official rubber boot full of haggis on the podcast. Movie Mandate as well, his podcast.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah. I know you guys have a lot to do, and this coming Saturday is my 30th birthday, and I'd like to invite you both. It is in America. There's going to be a Darth Vader bounce castle, two custom brewed beers exclusively for the party, and a lakeside funeral for my youth, followed by hot tubbing. If for some reason you cannot attend, I will accept a shout out instead. Keep up the great work. Grab that gem eggs. Love and kisses, Ralph.
Oh, Ralph.
Happy birthday, Ralph.
Happy birthday, Ralph. Shout outs to Ralph.
Shout outs to
Big
Ralph.
Big person of the show.
Yeah, he is. So thank, sorry, we cannot attend your birthday. That sounds...
That we know about.
It sounds amazing, right?
Yeah.
A lot of 30ths are just people being sad. Have you noticed?
Yes, I have noticed that.
Just like, well, life's passed me by. I used to party and now I'm sad. So that sounds really awesome. So, yeah.
But I mean, Ralph, leave aside a little bit of time for that.
Please.
Like, if you could, right at the end, if you could just be alone in the bouncy castle, just being a little bit sad, that would be good.
Also, that's the end of the show, Mason. So thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk for the themes.
Absolutely.
Thank you to everybody for their Batman thoughts. Also, just quickly, I'm doing a collab kind of podcasty video for YouTube with Josh Lewis, movie reviewer. I mentioned him last week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Half's going to be on his YouTube channel. If you Google Josh Lewis reviews, you'll find that. And the second half will be on my YouTube channel, Mr. Sunday Movies, where we just talk about the best movies of the summer. So, yeah. It's
Are you going to say Samur every time?
That's what I say in the podcast or the YouTube-y thing.
Love it.
So yeah, go check it out. It was a lot of fun. Also, because next week we're not here.
Oh yeah.
We're taking a week off. We're taking a break.
Love it.
Got things to do.
Yeah.
People to see. But luckily, we're definitely going to do...
Just going to contemplate the death of our youths.
That's right. Luckily, we're going to do a Winter Soldier commentary, aren't we, Mason?
Yes, we are.
And get that up.
Yep.
So if you go to weeklyplanet.bandcamp.com, hopefully that will be up there by next week. And you can listen along with your friends. And it might be okay.
Your friends are us.
Yes.
Best friends.
So, yeah. Sorry we're not doing one next week. But, you know, episode 50 seems like a good time to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Forever. No, we'll be back after that.
We'll be back big time. And we'll be talking Ninja Turtles.
Will we?
Briefly. Ugh. I mean, everybody's seen it.
Everybody's seen it. Okay.
Yeah. But we'll talk about it briefly, I guess. Great. But episode ideas, please email the show, Mason Ware.
They can get us at weeklyplanetpod at Gmail, Facebook, and Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter and YouTube and Facebook and life.
That we know about.
So yeah, next week, nothing.
Great.
Captain America something.
Be alone with your thoughts.
Yeah, that's right. If you want to download that for free, you absolutely can. Don't feel obliged to pay any money for it. I think we've got some credits.
We haven't.
Yeah, that's right. I think we've got some credits. We can probably put up about 100 or whatever. I think we've got about 103 or something.
Cool, nice.
So, you know, we'll chuck them up and first in.
Love it.
But also just get it for free. If you don't get that, who cares?
Yeah.
Life is a roller coaster, man.
Isn't it though?
Just got to ride it. Anything else?
Life is also a highway.
That's true.
And a box of chocolates.
Yes. I can't think of anything else. The Life of Brian.
There we go.
Great movie. Thanks, everyone. Thank you for supporting us for 50 episodes.
Yeah, that's been great.
We're on some charts somewhere.
That's 49 episodes more than I thought we'd do.
Yeah, that's it. So, yeah. See you in 2 weeks.
Okay, bye.
Am I blue? Am I blue? Ain't these tears in my eyes telling you? Am I blue? You'd be too if each plan that you had done fell through. There was a time I was your only one, but now I'm the sad and lonely one.
Beautiful. And you'll keep your part of the bargain?
A deal's a deal. He can stop now.
Not on your life.
I should say.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.